questions for her, and then we're going to...
All right, Susan Spencer.
As I put out smoothly, is the wife of Roger Spencer, who's on our economics faculty, Roger, and I have a friend. And, well, Susan has a friend, too.
They're both
are economics professors. She's at San Antonio College, and Roger's at Trinity University. And she probably gets more students in a year than Roger's ever had in his whole lifetime. Because San Antonio College is a big operation, lots of scholars. So without further ado, Susan, I guess I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, well, I'm not going to have any flashing material. I'm going to leave it to my colleague, Louis, to show you how I threw that. That's really what it boiled down to. And the economist side of me is going to go through what you do in the room. And hopefully we'll rebuttal all things up with people, up with help. I started talking about my husband, our mutual friend, in a totally non-tech, he doesn't want to hear from me. So Bob, as we happened to be in Germany together, I was telling him about some of my frustration, because I was back with you, because while we have a support center that we're thankful for, and Lewis is my support, we have to develop as a faculty our own internet courses. And we do have choices of getting a CAN program from one of the publishers and working with it, or developing our own, and from a variety of reasons we're developing our own. And I started and thought I was doing just great until someone got into my face saying, is this Bobby compliant? And just really in an intense way, and what that meant was, does it meet with the ADA rules and regulations? And they're very adamant at San Antonio College. We've had a visit once by, I don't know if your school does, but visited by the lawyers from the Civil Rights Office, the Department of Education, but they used it as any small complaint gives them the right to investigate everything, practically. So while we're attempting to do all that we need to do, I would not like to be the one to bring the lawyers down on their head. So I decided I needed to look into this more because I was so thrilled that I have a picture of, I have a website, I was so proud of myself, and it crashing down. And learning that I did a number of things wrong, and Lewis will show you later how many more things I have to fix. But I decided to say why, to look into why. And essentially, you and I are operating under the 1998 Rehabilitation Amendment Act, and the Rehabilitation Act comes from 1973, but it's all part of this program. There's a section called 508 that looms over educators. With some relief, my own disability support, student support services department has it, because while we are in the category of government, education is included, that you have to have some level of compliance, but compared to the private profit generated site, we have a little more leeway with the undue hardship clause. Now, if any of you are lawyers, you know far more than I do about it in terms of the time. I'm an economics professor trying to get my course on. And so I looked back at the material, and it turns out that looking at the history really is very contemporary history, because you could go back to the 50s when the UN started making some pronouncements about what they thought ought to be a worldwide standard in treatment of people with disabilities. And you go through our own history, probably coming up to 1990 with ADA. So now ADA is around, and my source for most of this is what I put a handout on there. It is like a survey course. It touches on a lot of different things. Some of it is legal, some of it is technical, some of it, it's just a more broad-based history. I've also given you a website that I found. It's filled with websites in here on top of it. That website is like this book. It is almost a survey course into Excel, because you can, from that site, go to any number of topics from history to the high tech as you want to go. Okay, two landmark cases make these trends, which are moving very rapidly, and in the early 90s, you need to picture, not only the ADA came in and that schools and governments are getting people who are in charge of seeing that they comply with the rules as they exist, but we have the development of the explosion of the internet usage. With a major change from being static, and when it was just a posting kind of thing, there really wasn't much problem. But once it was becoming interactive, there started to be problems. And the first landmark case is in Los Angeles, San Jose, in Silicon Valley. I mean, when I was reading that, how could it come from there? But maybe there is a cause and effect here. The city itself had a complaint filed against it, and they have an ADA compliance officer who actually has some tech background. He's been in engineering and toilet handles and all that kind of thing. Here comes this complaint, and from no less than one of his own councilwoman actually, who is blind. And actually, he's thinking he's doing pretty good. He has wonderful stories in here because they are sending information to their commission that deals with disabilities over the internet. And they're starting to save money, and he thinks everything's going well, and then he gets things with it. Need to comply. And the nature of this really had to do, and made me think of accountants, but really was going around forms that she could not get in timely fashion, and the word timeliness is going to fall on our shoulders pretty heavily as educators. Excuse me, let me present. So he sets about working with this, and you need to understand there's a complaint process, not a model of education, where they're first supposed to come to you, and then once you don't make them happy, they go over your head. Well, that is the process that is in place, that if someone has a problem with your website, they're supposed to seek remediation, and if that doesn't come quickly, then they go to the Office of Civil Rights, and in our case, it would be for education, but it would, forgot what it would be for the city of San Jose. And she filed a complaint, and so it brought the heavy hand down on them. This man immediately got to it and wrote a set of standards for website conditions under which they should operate. And this set of standards is what was incorporated along with some other features that the U.S. actually operates on, and it's called Electronic and Information Technology Accessibility Standards. So you combine that tech stuff with GIL's general standards, and you have the 508 section that we're supposed to comply with. He made a note of this. This was published in 2002, and he's very conscious in pulling it together with a lot of other authors that things can be changing any minute. This work can be obsolete fairly quickly. But as of 1999 going into 2000, there's an Adobe Acrobat still was having problems as you were trying to send things around. You had to be very careful with that. If we fast forward to 2000, we're going to get a case in Australia, and the reason it applies to us is that it's the first case that ever went to court. And what you need to understand is that there is a growing number of complaints with the OCR, the Office of Civil Rights, Department of Education, but none of them have yet gone to court. So we're going to say, as the people in my disability service support center said, there's still a lot of gray area in this, because what that means is that the complaints that have been resolved through what they call settlement or resolution, and that has a different implication, and I didn't have time to check with a lawyer, and I should speak to what it is, but it's not the same. I think it went to court. For the Olympics in Sydney, a blind man tried to assess information, buy tickets, and he got nowhere. And they made the mistake of telling this person to get a sighted person to help him. That is so bad. As he vows to us, never ever do that. Yes. Do what you kid go hold their hand, do not tell them to get another side of Christmas, because that will just not hold water. And it seems to make the people who are mediating it angry. Okay, so, this is the 1990, the Olympics are in 2000, right? I think it's August, if I recall. They give him lots of stock, and I suppose they gave him tickets to the book if he was saying that that problem is resolved. But come November after it, the Olympics, he's still on the website of the meeting organizing committee for the Olympics, could not get the result of the event. And they came down hard. They rejected, and this is setting a worldwide standard, which is why this becomes important, that we come close to conforming to, but it would be noted the U.S. is slightly different than the world's voluntary standards, but for whomever your students are serving, you need to check with what standards you have to meet. They said, they argued under the undue burden condition that said it would cost us X amount of dollars, you know, millions, and it would take a year plus, just a long time, and they shouldn't have to do it. But the answer to this was that the opposite side said, wait, we brought in a group of experts from around the world, we can do this anywhere, who said we can do this in 4 months for $100,000 or $4,500, or just some small fraction of what the argument was against it. And of course, held them to that. And then in November, like 4 months later, they had not adjusted the properly given the results on which they argued came, and again, I'm not a tech person, from some database format that wasn't easy to work with. The court said, too bad, you owe me. And that's where we leave the story. In that case. Now, the early 90s, he calls the Wild Wild, not West, but Wild Wild Web, and he said, recognize that IBM was busy addressing this issue of accessibility, that there were various research organizations also doing, talking about it, but nobody did anything. If you look at the time period, nobody did anything until the first suit came on, and they integrated this ITAS and the San Jose City standard into this amendment that was effective in 98. Meanwhile, the Office of Civil Rights had been issuing letters, and I'm not sure legally, again, exactly what that means, but it's a statement of policy that they would like to see followed. I'm not sure totally what the consequences would be. Let me get my notes to tell you that there are four that actually apply to the educational venue that we need to think about. I took these down to, again, to our disabled student support center, because I'm saying, oh my gosh, you know what, I can tell we're not doing all of these, and it's certainly not in a timely fashion. And basically her response to me was, you can relax a little because there are some buffers in there. Our particular center does some things to help with the timeliness such that they will immediately get readers available and make a case. And to understand that we are not California. Do we have anyone here from California? If you're from California, there will be. You know, you've got to be out there. They went, I'll tell you just a bit. There were four things that they did. First of all, though, in 1996, this was the first letter that came out before the rules were in place. And it said basically used the terms public accommodation and effective communication, expecting that this should be a standard. And these things, they're growing. They're growing in what it means. So, the four particular resolutions that this fellow put forth had these consequences. First of all, it was very clear, the first case was clear cut, it was when they suggested the student get a reader. And that just is not fine in the U.S. It isn't going to do that. It has some implications because it's not timely. In other words, if you have it, and you put information on there, it must also comply. It's the general rule. Now, no one, if someone has to file a complaint against you, it's like, what kind of consequences are there? And we won't know yet till you are, or till a settlement is brought to you or some mediation. The second letter that they sent out said that if your assignment, now you haven't put stuff up on the internet, but your assignment to your students requires research, at all, any or all facilities must be compliant. And what that means, compliant with a time limit. And Thatcher, who is the fellow from San Jose who's taking us through this, is saying that this timeliness component of effective communication, he breaks it down into three. Timeliness, accuracy of translation, that will come with the browser, the reader, that is. And then there's another one that seems to be not be very important, but actually it is. And it's the manner in which you present the alternate format for your graphics, your pictures. And it has built into that a concept that the more important it is, like if you're going to test over it, then it better have full reading or something critical. But if it's an odd picture, and I think the one that has one Statue of Liberty on it just as a fluff, it has to have some description for the blind view that says picture of the Statue of Liberty, but it doesn't have to go any further because we're not testing it over that. So the second letter said, it nullified ad hoc responses. And basically what that explained to me meant was that it is no longer sufficient to say, we will take care of this blind person when they contact us and say that they need this. That stands out. There is a mandate in that to have what they call a proactive stance, that you must have demonstrated that you are trying to think of these things before the fact, have remedies in place, which you got through consultation with the disability community. In other words, if it's something for the blind that we've had input from those students in that community, or if it's with the deaf, or if it's with people who cannot easily manipulate keyboards or mouses or do it at all, say with their hands. The college needs to demonstrate what is called a proactive stance. The third and fourth on this comes from an action in California. And being a Texan, the people in our school tried to say, okay, well, if it's not quite as tough for us, but this is what the OCR did to California. They decided that they were tired of waiting. Well, it should not be necessary for a disabled person to come and complain, that they were going to go in, just as they were telling colleges to have a proactive stance, and they went into California Community College. And it's a huge, I think, I'm trying to think of, say, like 106 something, it's a big system. And they did their own audit based on no single complaint. So they had the right to come in and develop this huge list, and we're talking now, this is website stuff as well. And said that they have the right to do this. The third thing that was a follow-up to the first letter of what they were giving California to comply with was that they also decided it was not enough for your college or university to simply have your disabled student services worry about this and to have facilities there. The standard says you must have them college-wide and you must have a program to inform all the professors about the situation with disabled students and using the internet. It's not just that every floor has to have a handicapped provided bathroom. It now is that you, the professor, who is using the course and the college is not excused because you bought it or adapted it from your publisher. Your publisher or your media people are not excused because you were doing it to our specification. It is everybody's responsible. It's essentially what the series of legality are built. Yeah. There's no such thing as a free talk, for Susan. Look, I have some direct requests of you because I became aware yesterday that I am in multiple non-compliance. But my course will be paid for taking me through this next week on some of the tables that you'll see read like garbage that I have to fix. But I also discovered that my textbook is not in compliance, and Addison Westridge is going to be crazy. And I don't know if you have representatives here, but harass them for me. When I called up, they do not have an audio version of my textbook immediately available. We use a variety of texts. When I called other publishing companies, they do, thank goodness. It makes it that if a student needs a different format, they have either the audio version or there's something called an electronic format, which is also acceptable. That the student could order, and it doesn't have to be stocked in the bookstore, but they have to be able to get it in a timely fashion. And my own, again, the disabled student service is not to worry when students were on campus. They went to great expense because they would grab the textbook, hire people to come in and read it right away to try and keep ahead of the students. Almost that barely kept it. That barely kept it because they can fall behind if you have too many textbooks with too many students. So they said they're running into trouble because this works on campus. But as we reach our goal, and our goal is to, in fact, is to reach a lot of internet students who are distant, they can't do it in a timely fashion. Needless to say, yesterday when I was talking to a marketing person, I said, do not take this as a personal threat, but rather as the fact that as we're reviewing for the new text that we would use, unless you make it available to the students that they can purchase it, we're not talking about this being for free. We cannot adopt your textbook because now my fear is, we've mentioned it one semester using this, that as I start teaching this class, you know, this is a terrible thing to say, but I'm hoping I don't have a blind person at this point sign up for it because it would be a tremendous scramble to give them adequate. And from now on our list, and in fact they have said they're sending out a policy around the university, that when we go to consider textbook adoptions that we need to ask if they have alternate formats available.
More importantly, if you're designing a course around it, you better get an ADA compliant text before you design the course.
That's what, and they told me to rest assured not to because I'm a communist. I don't have your talents. I don't have it going up good. So I'm just trying to do, and it's almost like no good deed goes unpunished, right? And we have had people, fortunately, well, I do have the next week to work on fixing the table, but I have a colleague. It's not as overbearing, but he's found some things that he will show you that don't work. But that's what you do in blue. But the other part, the up from Thatcher, and he brought in a lot of experts on this, is that once you put them in place, they're tremendously cost efficient. And in fact, if we count the publishers to make these available, our own Department of Disability Services will have money to allocate for other things rather than hiring leaders to develop this in a timely fashion. And that was what I was dumping on Bob. I said, oh my goodness, we need to get this going. And he said, oh, come get it off your chest.
Didn't you also say that the accrediting agency, in this case, the Southern Association, was requiring it?
The San Antonio College is under the Southern Association of Colleges. And a feather in our cap became a boomer, something like an albatross around our neck. Was that we were among the first in our community to advertise, this gets us in trouble, that you can get an entire degree over the internet. Well, with having them come down and audit is because it affects your accreditation. If you are not in offering the school degree ABA compliant, you know, whatever they do, up there talking
to you.
I know, they just put a lot of pressure on you. And that's pretty much what he says in here, that there are, most of this tries to go to resolution rather than case, but he's expecting about any time some of these cases that are piling up to actually have to go to trial because they're not going to reach a settlement. But it's not until we get more actual cases that some of the questions would be answered for us about how hard would it come down. I mean, how close are we sending it? By having a text that doesn't have an audio version, but rather we get readers. And they only do it ad hoc, actually, so it seems not the credit to start reading chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3.
There's one thing for reading, but it's another thing for reads text. It's nothing for graphics. Economics, graphs are...
They're hitting with the bathroom area. And when you come back from the break, essentially, I'm pretty sure that he will give you a demonstration of what works and what doesn't work. And I gave you a little handout that on here. And let me tell you why I like this book. He has included some tech chapters, but he has this is in English for people like me to read what kinds of things I should be trying to make done. I put it through evaluators, you talk about evaluators, yes. And it gave me all these nasty signs, and then I couldn't figure out all the things I was supposed to do and their levels of what is, you have to meet the first level, it would be nice if you met the second level or the dream if you meet third level. But this actually tells me what I should be looking for as I'm programming and doing my own. And I don't know that we'll ever have enough money where I can turn it over to Lewis to do rather than to come back, you know, come and just help me do mine better. If you have questions, I would be happy to talk to you about it, but I did this with their permission, and they would be happy to have you ask them any questions. They get to their texting line.
I got a question right here. Yeah, I'm just, what you're saying is scaring me to death.
Well, it did me too.
Are you saying I am perhaps opening myself, exposing myself to legal liability if I assign a textbook to a course and have not determined that there is an audio tape available for that book?
Well, there's a level of protection for education, but they would expect you to have reasonable compliance. And I think what would happen, I'm not a lawyer, but this is what the lady with a disability said to me, is that the first thing they would have to do is tell me, the student, that there wasn't one available, but I really should have known. That's what the law would come down and say. And essentially what would happen, in my best estimation from my administrators, is that the annoying thing wouldn't be my legal liability that I would be sued, but that I would be irritating the administration a lot by bringing the lawyers from the Office of Civil Rights down to them that can audit all your programs. If someone files a complaint, in light of California, they can also apparently take it on their own just to decide. I don't know why they decided to do this to California, but it was from the Civil Rights Office that it was decided to audit this California Community College. It was not based on any single student's complaint.
I don't know if our universities are derelict in letting us know. Is this the first anyone else has heard about this, or am I somehow...
Actually, most universities have somebody who is supposed to be in charge of seeing about compliance, but it's typically off in the counseling center and not in the academic side of things.
That is actually not acceptable.
I just don't think that they've moved far enough. We have an office for students with disabilities, but as far as this kind of specific information, in terms of you better be careful and talking to your publishers and so on, this is the first I've heard.
I think it's one of these problems that people hope would just go away, and it's not going away, and they just haven't moved on.
I would hope for it to go away, too. Yes, there were in 1998. I don't think, well, it's in the body of ADA. What it is there was there were the Rehabilitation Amendments of 1998. Of those, one is Section 508. There's also 504, which is what they really, California has now adopted 504, which is applying to every state level, any national level policy. And with that, the Office of Civil Rights came down and examined them. What they tell me at San Antonio College in our disabilities office is that Texas looked at adopting 504 for a state level, and we didn't do it, but we have some vulnerability because we get federal funds. And so what is national policy put out by the U.S. DOJ, U.S. Department of Justice, which is what it refers to in here, are these letters of resolution that seem to fall out of the settlements they've made over specific complaints. And short of having a decision made in a court that makes things fairly clear, or I would say crystal clear, but I don't know about law, if it's ever very crystal clear, that these are the defining phrases by which one judges what you have to do. And I feel like we were driven because we made this advertisement and the accreditation people were going to be coming after it. So the tech center with the disabilities people got together to make sure that as we non-tech faculty members would be developing our own classes, or if we chose to adopt, but they've had a lot of trouble just taking, you know, books will offer you courses. They have been a nightmare for many people. Now, we're talking about history. I don't know about if anyone offers exactly today that the publishers who have developed them have worked harder to come into compliance, because I don't know how many faculty members have aggravated them about it. And that's what I was going to call. I was calling to ask what evaluators for the quality level of their internet course did they use, and they said, what? They don't even have an audio version of the book. Forget that what they're doing for the others. Now, this was Madison Wesley. I think they're scrambling since I got better, and maybe are doing better than the fellow on the phone could tell me. But what he did say is there is no alternative text available for your textbook.
I just wanted to add one point. I think in California, at least so far, the way we're handling this is we have been specifically asked to incorporate something in our course syllabus, the general global syllabus, that talks about the ADA Act and then provides a reference specifically to a department on campus where our students can be helped. And perhaps that's a way of speaking to some of the issues.
We are there.
But they aren't forcing you to develop your course or whatever.
No. But they are insisting, and they are checking, that we have some type of a record.
ADA is one of these laws that you don't have to satisfy overnight, but you have to show steady progress.
Yeah, so that's what I think how we're
so funny. I think you're going to see this. I was a president of the South Texas chapter of the Financial Executives Institute in 1998. And in one of our dinner meetings, we had a lawyer come in and talk to us about ADA, and his opening comment was, ADA is going to be your worst nightmare.
I think we are required also to put that statement on all of our internet material to be filtered
once
the
when you come back today, Susan is going to actually demonstrate how she is trying to comply with ADA for blind people and her course materials to come out.
Well, I'm going to turn it over to Lewis. Let me introduce Lewis, and he can take over when I forget. This is a fellow from our tech center who is helping me try to understand and comply. But what he pointed out to me is that you have to watch out for different levels of meters that the blind people can put in. And money talks the more expensive the meter, but we have to program for the lowest component, the free ones, the different browsers. And he will talk to you a little bit about that.